Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Shamini Ti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Sajjajivesha. Those who are sitting on the floor, you're welcome to move up if you'd like. It's great togetherness. Don't get too close. But of course, sit wherever you're comfortable. That's fine. Yeah, wherever you're comfortable is good. And your cell phones are checked? Yeah, they're all in silent or vibrate or off. You get extra points for off, by the way. Okay. We're reading chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Lord Krishna has... Arjuna asked a question. Which is better, the person who engages in your devotional service or the person who contemplates the impersonal aspect of the Supreme, the all-pervading oneness? And Krishna immediately answered that the person engaged in personal devotional service is better. In fact, he's the best. There are only two choices, but Krishna says he's the best. Then the person who's contemplating the impersonal feature will gradually make progress. But it's difficult. Klesho tikkataraste shamavyaktasa. To attach one's mind to something with no form, no qualities, no name, no anything is exceedingly difficult. And it's troublesome at the end because then you have to give that up and go on to the higher feature. So Krishna has emphatically said that the person engaged in devotional service is following the better path, the path more recommended. Now in this, and then Krishna also said, well, if you can't take to spontaneous loving service of me, then follow the regulative principles of devotional service in a regulated way, and you'll develop the desire to love me. Then if you can't do that, well then, give the results of your work to me. If you can't do that, then give away the results of your work somewhere. Don't hold on to it. But best, Krishna says, is to engage directly in my loving service. Now in this section, for the rest of the chapter, Krishna will describe the characteristics of a bhakta, a devotee of the Lord. And they're summarized in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvaya gunais tatra samasate sudha. All the godly qualities are found in a pure devotee of Krishna. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada summarized this by saying the symptom or the sign of a devotee is that he's a perfect gentleman. The perfect gentleman. Gentlemen are hard to find these days. Gentlemen, gentlewomen. But all good qualities will be found in a devotee of the Lord. Now Krishna begins to describe her. Adveshta sarvabhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukakshami. Lord says, well, Prabhupada comments, coming again to the point of pure devotional service, the Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee. The first is adveshta sarvabhutanam. He's not envious of anyone, in of any living being. In Prabhupada's vocabulary, this word envy is a little interesting. Usually we think of envy in terms of you have something that I don't have and I want it. That's the usual definition of envy. There's an older definition in the dictionaries having to do with hatred or antipathy. And that seems to be more the meaning of the word in Srila Prabhupada's usage, antipathy or outright hatred. So a devotee is not envious or hateful toward any living being. Would you like a chair, Prabhuji? Yes. Okay, there's one there. And Prabhupada says the devotee doesn't become an enemy of his own enemy. He thinks that this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds. So better to suffer than to protest. Maitra Karuna Evaja. Maitra means friendly. He's friendly toward all living beings. Again, he doesn't think this person is my enemy, this person is my friend. Yeah, everyone is my friend. Everyone is, even my enemies are helping me. They may be helping me to become humble, or they're helping me to learn how to tolerate. They're also doing me a favor. Or he thinks that, okay, good. They're actually my friends, but due to some disturbance, they're thinking that I'm their enemy. But actually, all living beings are friendly toward me. Maitra and Karuna. Karuna means merciful. Has Prabhupada lost that? He doesn't. Okay. He's merciful. Maitra Karuna Evacha. And Nirmama. Nirmama means nothing is mine. He's freed from false possessiveness. And Nirahankar means he doesn't identify with this body. He knows he's free from false ego. False ego means to think that I'm this body. Real ego means to think that I'm spirit soul. But he's free from that false ego. And Prabhupada glosses Nirmama, freedom from possession, or nothing is mine, in a very interesting way. He says, Nirmama means that a devotee doesn't attach much importance to the pains and trouble pertaining to the body, because he knows that he's not the material body. This pain doesn't belong to me. This pleasure doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. It belongs to the body. So Prabhupada pulls together those two things. Nirmama and Nirahankar. Nothing is mine, and I'm not this body. Sama dukkha sukakshami. And he's tolerant and... yes. Sama dukkha sukha. He's equal in happiness and distress. He's tolerant. Yakshami means tolerant. And satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of Krishna. He doesn't endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty. Therefore, he's always satisfied. That's the next verse. Santushta satatam yogi. Yatatma drittanishchayaha. Mayarpita mano buddhir, yo mad bhakta samepriya. Santushta means completely satisfied. Because he's not dependent on external things. Whatever comes by the grace of Krishna, he's happy. The devotee is happy because he has his relationship with Krishna. Satatam yogi means he's always connected. Yoga means connection. He's always connected with Krishna. He's a completely perfect mystic because he's fixed in the instructions received from the spiritual master. That's Satatam Yogi. And Yadatma means self-controlled, and Dridha Nischaya means fixed in his determination. He's not swayed because his senses are controlled, he's determined. If our senses are out of control, it's hard to have determination. Because the senses are going to pull us this way and that way. But if we can control our senses, then we can develop strong determination. And Prabhupada further says, he's not swayed by false arguments because no one can lead him from the fixed determination of devotion and service. He's determined, not just determined generally, I have to come out top in this match or something. But his determination is that I'll always stay fixed in the service of Krishna. I'll always stay in Krishna consciousness. He's fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord, so no one can disturb him. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord. And Krishna says, Yomad Bhakta Same Priya, such a devotee of mine is dear to me. May Priya. Srila Prabhupada one time said that our endeavor, our purpose, our aim is to become dear to Krishna. If you become dear to Krishna, what else do you need? So we want to become dear to Krishna and have Krishna be dear to us. That's the goal of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna said, how do you become dear to Krishna? Krishna, by becoming my devotee. Manmana bhavamat bhakta. And when one devotes himself to Krishna and he develops these good qualities, he becomes very dear to Krishna. Any questions so far? Okay. Yasman no dvijate loko, lokan no dvijate chayaha. Harsha marsha bhayod begara muktaya satcha me priyaha. This is a very good verse. I mean, they're all very good verses, but I like this verse. Yasman nod vijate loka, loko, lokan nod vijate chayaha. There's a cross there, the way it's composed. Udvijate means agitated. Udvijate means agitated. Krishna says, the person who's yasman nod vijate, who never agitates anyone, he doesn't disturb anyone needlessly. Prabhupada even, one time instructed some devotees not to touch the trees at night. He said, they're sleeping. Don't disturb them. We see that some people, they take pleasure in disturbing others. We see this with children sometimes. You know, they tease some other child until the child cries, and then they're happy. Right? And we see this also sometimes with adults. If you're climbing up the walls, then I feel like I accomplished something. But a devotee is just the opposite. He doesn't want to disturb. Doesn't want to disturb anyone. Yasman nod vijate loko, and lokan nod vijate chaya. And he's not disturbed by anyone. He's not disturbed by anyone. Does Prabhupada say something about this? Since a devotee is kind to everyone, he doesn't act in such a way as to put others into anxiety. At the same time, if others try to put a devotee into anxiety, he's not disturbed. It's by the grace of the Lord that he's so practiced that he's not disturbed by any outward disturbance. Harsha marsha bhayod ve'egayar mukta. And he's freed from harsha, amarsha, from happiness and distress, bhaya udvega, and fear and anxiety, because he's attached to Krishna, he's dependent on Krishna, he knows that I have nothing to do ultimately with this material world. Pretty zippy ring you've got there. He knows that he's not part of this material world. So he doesn't have fear. What is that? Ayam dutiya vinivesha tasya. Fear comes from thinking that there's something other than Krishna. if Krishna is in charge of everything, then what fear? Why do I need to be afraid? Krishna is there to protect me. Krishna is there to maintain me. So freed from fear, freed from anxiety, freed from false happiness, freed from false distress. Because his consciousness is inward on his spiritual identity, his relationship with Krishna, and in his outward dealings, he also sees all others in relationship to Krishna. Anapeksha, Shuchir, Daksha, Udasino Gatavyataha, Sarvarampa Parityagi, Yomad Bhakta Samepriya. Prabhupada translates Anapeksha as being not dependent on the ordinary course of activities. However things go, that's all right. Money may be offered to him, but he shouldn't struggle to acquire it. If automatically, by the grace of the Supreme, money comes to him, he's not agitated. Whatever. What is that? Yadrichchalabha santushta. He's satisfied with whatever comes. Then Shuchi. Shuchi means pure or clean. He takes a bath twice a day, rises early in the morning for devotional service, so he's naturally clean inward and inwardly and outwardly. Bhaya avyantara shuchi. Cleanliness is next to godliness, so devotees regularly bathe, not like the street people who take a bath once in a, however long, anywhere from a month to a year. It's always clean, and his consciousness is clean, because he's for external cleanliness, soap and water, and for internal cleanliness, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anapeksha Shuchir and Daksha. Daksha means expert. A devotee is expert because he fully knows the essence of all activities of life. And he's convinced of the authoritative scriptures. That gives him transcendental expertise. We also see that devotees are expert in the activities of serving Krishna. Udasino gatavyataha. Udasina means neutral. Prabhupada explains, he doesn't take the part of a particular party, and therefore he's carefree. He's carefree. Material world, we all line up with different political or, you know, power groups or social forces, or we see where the bread is buttered on, and that's where we are. But a devotee stays out of arguments, stays out of taking sides. He's on one side, he's on Krishna's side. He has no friends or enemies in the material world. Then Gatavyataha is freed from all pains because he's freed from all designations. He knows that his body is a designation, so if there's bodily pains, he's free. I'm not this body, so what do the pains and pleasures of this body have to do with me? Or the names associated with this body. You know, if somebody calls me a kike or a nigger or a dago or a, you know, there's lots of, we'll spend the evening with abusive names. So what do I care? I'm not this body. I'm not black. I'm not white. I'm not Catholic or Jewish or Italian or... there's always somebody who hates every designation. There's always somebody who doesn't like somebody. But I'm not any of those bodies. I'm not this body. Whatever it is. I was just seeing a book by a professor at Princeton in which he was thoughtful person and so on. And he's black and he's talking about black concerns and so on. But he never gets to this point that I'm not black. It's black, I'm black, and it's okay to be black. But the soul is not black, the soul is not white. Now, in fairness to him, he probably has some understanding of that, but he never comes out and says that. And that's the first thing we say. I'm not any of these things pertaining to the body. Yatavyata. So, whatever is going on with this body, what does it have to do with me? We saw to the exceptional degree with Srila Prabhupada that in his last days he underwent so much bodily trouble. The doctor said, I mean, he wasn't eating, he had, I won't go into it, but the doctor said any ordinary person would be screaming in pain. That any ordinary person would be screaming in pain. And Srila Prabhupada was going on with his, Prabhupada's inconvenience. His inconvenience, but he was going on with all of his activities with a steady mind. The extraordinary result of pure Krishna consciousness, exalted Krishna consciousness. Sarva Rambha Paritiyagi. He's detached in all undertakings. He doesn't endeavor for anything which is against the principles of devotional service. For his personal relations, he doesn't bother to build a big house and take so much enterprise. For the service of Krishna, he'll do that, but not for himself. So he's renounced. Renounced doesn't mean he doesn't do anything, but it means he's not working for his own account. He's working on Krishna's account. So Krishna says, Yomad Bhaktasame Priya, he's very dear to me. Any questions? So, yes, Vasudeva Saravati.
I don't quite understand this. And not dependent on ordinary course of activities.
Prabhupada gave you don't understand, not dependent on the ordinary course of activities. Well, right now, all sorts of people are flipping because of the economy. Right? It's like. But Prabhupada gave the example of a person who's invested in the stock market. We think if the stock market's going up, that's good. And if stocks are going down, that's terrible. But for the smart investor, it's the same. Because when the stocks go up, he's making a profit by selling. And when the stocks go down, he buys cheap. So for him, up or down is either way is fine. You just have to know what to do in either circumstance. The expression is take what comes. So he takes what comes, all right? Stock market is down. I hold on to him. This is not the time to sell, it's the time to buy. So he buys stocks cheap. And then when the stock goes up, then it's time to sell. So up is not good and bad is not. Up is not good and down is not bad. They're both good. He's not dependent on which way it goes, that if it's up, he's okay. If it's down, he's in terror. Either way, he's fine. So, the person in Krishna consciousness, whichever way things go in the material world, if he has some comfort and facility, all right, that's nice. It will help me for my service of Krishna. And if I'm in discomfort and difficulty, well, that's good also, because that keeps me from getting fat and lazy. So he's not stuck under any circumstances. Mm-hmm. You're going to correct me about the stock market?
No. Actually, I'm just amazed by, I've always heard that he knows, Krishna knows everything. I'm always amazed that you probably don't look at the stock market news, but
I just heard it from Prabhupada.
What needs to be done, anyway. Just proves that adage. Maharaj as, you know, so these instructions and not his body and, you know, various lectures and constant hearing on that over the years, you know, as I intellectualized it, I think it's like here, I recognize it, but, and it's easier to follow when good things are happening, you know, so, you know, there's still some pleasure, but you can look at it and say, yeah, you know, I'm not this body, it really doesn't belong to me, it's temporary, it can be taken away. When things are tough, or tough things might be around the corner, it's sometimes hard to, like, implement it in real life. So I think where I'm going with this, I'm asking for your comment and for your help. Where I'm going with this is if, how should we view this instruction in practical terms? So, like, say you're about to lose your job, or your health is not good, or you're in considerable pain.
All right. It's easy to think I'm not this body when things are going well. Okay, I'm getting a little extra pleasure, but that's all right. I know that's not. But when things are tough, then, I'm not so sure I'm not this body. But, you know, I know theoretically, but how do I act that way? A Krishna conscious person, in one sense, when things are tough, then one becomes more Krishna conscious. Toughness is healthy. When I'm in difficulty, although it may pinch, but it practically forces me. Now I have to depend more on Krishna. And that's the test of an advanced devotee or a serious devotee. When things are tough, he doesn't say, well, now I better give it up. It was okay when it was comfortable, but now that it's getting rough, I think I'm going to go back to, you know, whatever it was. Now's the time to depend more on Krishna. Now's the time to depend more on Krishna. He gets more serious. Now it's getting tough, I better get serious. In business, when things are going well, we can sort of like let the business go on. When things are getting tough, then we have to look at the, you know, all of our expenses, we have to look at our strategy very carefully, we have to look at every forecast, we have to look at every number, because a little bit we don't have any leeway anymore. When things were nice, you know, it'll go on and it's just a question of whether I'll make 1 million or 1.5 million. But now that it's tight, I have to be very, very serious about my business. So when things are tough, a devotee has to be very serious about Krishna consciousness. But we've seen that when a devotee is, what is it? Yasmin stato nadukena guruna pi vichalyate. When a devotee is situated in, when he's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he's not vichalyate, he's not disturbed, even by the greatest suffering. My godbrother, Tribhuvanath, who's a great preacher of Krishna consciousness in Africa and many places. Last time I saw him at Bhaktivedanta Manor, he'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer and he had a few months left. So I saw him, I said, Tribhuvanath, how are you doing? He said, I'm going to die. You know, like it's going to rain on Tuesday. I'm going to die. Yes?
I just want to, we all know we're going to die. But if we're, the body is in excruciating pain, there is no dignity. I mean, if you die with dignity, that's one thing.
Yeah, if we die with dignity, it's one thing, but when we're in excruciating pain, it's another. But therefore the devotee, whether he's in mild discomfort or the greatest agony, he turns toward Krishna. Then he's glorious under any circumstances. He turns toward Krishna. He turns toward Krishna. That we expect that death certainly is by nature painful, more than a little. More than a little. But a devotee under such circumstances, he just grabs onto Krishna. Because what else will I grab onto? what else is there at the time? You know, people are calling out for their mother, or calling out for their wife, or calling out for their kid, or calling out for their doctor. Doctor, please do something. One devotee was a nurse. She told me how she became a devotee. She was on the ward, and some woman rang the bell, you know, one of the patients, and she was having trouble breathing, and she said, "I'm dying, what should I do?" And the nurse said, "Well, I don't know what you should do." And then the patient died. And as she was putting the patient's body into the plastic bag and doing the needful, she thought, you know, what should she have done? And what should I have told her? And she realized that she didn't know. And that's how she turned toward Krishna consciousness. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is an answer to that question. What should a person do who's on the verge of death? What should a person do? And Prabhupada comments, person on the verge of death means everyone. Because none of us know. But we all know that it's there, and it's close, relatively. And Sukadeva Goswami says, one should hear about and chant about and remember Krishna, who frees one from all evils, all unwanted things. It's a test. There's a Bengali proverb, everything's tested at the time of death. The person who sticks to the lotus feet of Krishna passes the test. There may be pain, there may be suffering. That's just a moment. In eternity, that's one moment. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Whether you chant to an animal or a human being at the time of their death, then hearing the Maha Mantra, do they go back to Godhead? Or
if they hear the Maha Mantra, a human being or an animal, will they go back to Godhead? Well, they certainly have a good opportunity, and it benefits them. We can't guarantee you. I chanted the Maha Mantra, and so, you know, this person went back to Godhead. But it's a great good fortune for them that they get to hear the holy name of Krishna. And if they focus on the holy name of Krishna, then there's every likelihood. Yes, did you want to ask something?
No, thank you.
Hmm? Okay. Yes?
The quality of daksha, expertise. We
see, expertise.
Like, we see, for example, Prabhupada's expertise on everything he did, his cooking, his kirtan, his... Somehow, he seems to be expert in anything. But is that a quality, like, every devotee kind of...
We may not be expert in everything. It's not that because I become a devotee, now I'm expert in nuclear physics. But in the ordinary affairs of life, or especially in the activities of serving Krishna, a devotee becomes expert. He becomes expert in pleasing Krishna in different ways. But especially Prabhupada glosses it. He's expert in staying fixed in Krishna consciousness. Yes?
Are there different levels or degrees of these qualities?
Are there different levels or degrees? Sure. A beginning devotee starts to develop some of these good qualities. And an advanced devotee, these good qualities shine. Yeah, exactly. It's inherent in the soul, so by purification, all the good qualities come out. Everyone is good by nature, absolutely good. But we're covered by material goodness, which is compromised goodness, and by passion and ignorance. So then we're not so good. as one becomes freed from these coverings, one's good qualities come out. The example is the hunter who became a devotee by the grace of Narad Muni. Narad Muni, while traveling the forest, met a hunter. Actually, before he met the hunter, he saw that there were these animals lying around in the forest, half dead. They had been pierced with arrows, and they were half dead and writhing in pain. And then Narada, traveling further, he saw the hunter. He was a savage-looking person. And Narad Muni asked him, you know, who's done this? Who's put these animals into so much pain? And the hunter said, well, I did it. I enjoy it. When I see the animals squirming in pain, it gives me pleasure. This is how my father did it, taught me, and that's how I do it. So Narad Muni, by the influence of Narad Muni, the hunter's heart began to change. He offered Narad Muni that, you know, you seem to be a saintly person, can I give you something? Some skins? Some? Narad Muni said, no, I don't do any skins. But you please take to Krishna consciousness. First he said, if you're going to kill the animals, kill them completely. Don't half kill them. It gives them too much pain. And then he explained that you're giving them pain, they're going to come back on you in the next life. And you'll have to undergo the same pain that you've inflicted on them. The hunter understood, and in short, he became a devotee. And the next time Narad Muni, he became such a saintly devotee that he was just so nicely sitting, chanting Hare Krishna. There's more to the story. But in the end, Narad Muni came to see him again. And the hunter, to greet his spiritual master, Narad Muni, he was running toward him, but jumping this way and that way. So Narad Muni is, you know, glad to see you, but what's this jumping? So the hunter, former hunter, explained that there were some ants on the road, on the path. So I was avoiding them. The same hunter who was taking pleasure in half-killing animals became so gentle that he was unwilling even to step on an ant. So that's purification of consciousness.
These qualities, is it something that we have to endeavor?
If you become Krishna conscious, automatically these good qualities will come. Of course, you can be mindful of them, that if I'm to be a devotee, then I shouldn't be envious, I shouldn't be afflicted by false ego. But if you separately try to develop these qualities, even if you develop them, they're useless. Harava bhaktas yukato mahakura. Someone's not Krishna conscious, then all of his good qualities are superficial. Because he's lacking the essential quality of being related, acting in relationship to the Lord or to the Supreme Reality. His relationship is with that which doesn't exist and not with Krishna. So then his good qualities are all superficial. So even developing them. But sometimes we see that a person is really a gentleman. He's courteous. He's considerate. He's well-dressed. He speaks softly. He's generous. And he's the head of the local mafia. So all of his good qualities are canceled. Right? Because he's a criminal. So the person who's disconnected himself from the Supreme is like that. He's in a criminal position. He's an outlaw. He's a renegade. But when he becomes Krishna conscious, all the good qualities are to his credit. Yes?
When are we allowed to kill animals?
does
why are we not allowed to kill animals? When are you allowed to kill animals?
Like,
when they come to you with their teeth and claws and spring on you?
Just like cockroaches and bed bugs and...
Why should you kill them? Prabhupada said you should be killed.
But the problem is that...
he said because you're not clean, you're extending an invitation to them to move in. So it's not their fault, it's your fault. That was Prabhupada's position.
Because in our ashram we are instructed to kill the cockroaches by spraying on them. And it is a good
a
practice.
A dark future awaits. A thousand lives is a cockroach. The first thing is that we should try to be, Prabhupada said, revolutionary clean. It's easier just to spray the cockroaches. But we should be, first thing, very, very scrupulous about being clean. That's the first thing. Okay. Yes?
I'm wondering when you were saying that when we are in difficult situation, we should depend on Krishna.
Loud.
I was wondering when you were saying that when we are in a difficult situation, we should...
When we're in a difficult situation, we should depend on Krishna.
So I was thinking the another way, I mean, it's also said that we are not his body, and so the difficult situation is just an illusion. So what was the...
That's depending on Krishna, but Krishna, you please don't let me be affected by this illusion. Depending on Krishna means chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Chant, and then the things that were so difficult become not so difficult. Dhruva Maharaj, the story is there that he was attacked by the Yakshas. You know who the Yakshas are? They're mystic followers of Kubera. They have mystic powers, so they can do things. And Dhruva Maharaj was in a fight with them, and they began pulling tricks. So there was blood raining from the sky, there were stones falling, there were, you know, all sorts of big, you know, like ocean waves, like a tsunami all of a sudden. And none of it was real. But it appeared to be terrifying. So then he had a weapon given to him by Narayan, by the Lord, fired the weapon, everything was fine, went all dissipated. The Prabhupada said that weapon is chanting the holy name of Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, everything's all right. Yes? Hare Krishna.
Could you just talk a bit about the concept of becoming, or being dear to Krishna?
Being dear to Krishna.
Like prior to becoming a devotee or endeavoring to become a devotee, are you kind of a neutral stance?
Are you sort of neutral? Krishna look at you neutrally before you become a devotee?
Or even worse.
Krishna says, Suri, or even worse. You know, step on this guy. Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutana. He's the most intimate, well-wishing friend of every living being. Aham Bija Pradapita. He's the father of all living beings and all species of life. So everyone is dear to Krishna. But yayata mam prapajante tam stataiva bhajamya. As one reciprocates with Krishna, Krishna, as one approaches Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. The example is given of the sun. The sun shines everywhere. But if you lock yourself up in your house, pull down the blinds, board up the windows, shut the doors, then what relationship will you have with the sun? But if head out to the beach and all of that, then you're bathing in the sun. So Krishna is prepared to reciprocate with everyone. But when one reciprocates with him, when one approaches Krishna with devotion, with love, then Krishna returns the same feeling. So in that way, one becomes dear to Krishna. Everyone is dear to Krishna. Even Hiranyakashipu is dear to Krishna. But when one becomes a devotee, then there's a, then this, the relationship is special. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha. Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone. No one's dear to me and no one's my enemy. Ye bhajanti tu maam bhaktya mayi teishu te teishu chapya. But when one devotes himself to me, then I'm in him and he's in me.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then could you say then, like, what you're saying, it sounds like our relation, we're very dear to Krishna, and in fact he's very dear to us, but that relationship is only such dearness, the dearness aspect of that relationship, it's only manifest when one acts in that relationship.
Yeah, like a child is dear to the father, but if the child becomes inimical and disobedient and, you know, rejects his parents and so on, then the relationship is not active. Or it's what's the word?
Manifest?
No, it's obscured, or it's attenuated, or it's interrupted, blocked. It's there still. Father still feels that this is my son. But the relationship is blocked. The relationship is blocked. But when the son turns back to the father, then the relationship is always there. And now it becomes fully manifest. Shall we read the rest of the chapter? There's not much. There is much. There's three verses more, but we'll do it. Yo na hrishyati na dveshti na shochati na kamshati. The devotee doesn't rejoice over material happiness, and he doesn't lament over material loss. Na shochati na kamshati. There's no hankering or lamenting for a devotee. Why should I hanker or lament over illusion? Shubha shubha parityagi, whether things are going well or going badly, auspicious or inauspicious, he's renounced. Bhaktiman yasame priya, such a devotee is dear to Krishna. Sama shatro chamitre cha tata mana pamanayo. He's equal toward his friends and enemies, toward honor or dishonor. Shitoshna sukadukeshu. The same toward happiness and distress, heat and cold. Sama sanga vivarjita. He's freed from all bad association. Prabhupada must comment on that. He's transcendental to the association of his body, even, and the association of materialistic people. Tulya, here the evenness of a devotee is even in all circumstances. Tulya means like a scale, balanced. Tulya, ninda stutir mauni. Ninda and stuti mean praise and defamation. He's equal in both. Mauni, he's always silent. Silent means he doesn't talk about nonsense. Santushto yena kenachit. Whatever comes, he's satisfied. Aniketa. How does Prabhupada... Having no residence. Let's see what Prabhupada says here. He doesn't care about any residential facility. Sometimes he lives under a tree, or sometimes in a palatial building. He's attracted to neither. We saw that with Prabhupada. he sometimes was given a palatial quarters to live in, and sometimes he was living in a little thatched hut. And he was happy in both circumstances, not, I want to get back to the palace. No. He, in fact, in Bhubaneswar, he was invited, the temple there was under construction, and my godbrother Gorgovinda Maharaj was working on that, and he had a little, you know, just a little hut that on the land that he was living in. And he arranged for a room for Prabhupada in a nearby hotel. Prabhupada said, I'm not going to stay in the hotel. I'll stay with Gorgovinda Maharaj. So he stayed in a similar, you know, just a little hut there, and Prabhupada was happy.
So you explain how Mona, although the literal translation is silent, what it means is that one won't speak about nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I have no doubt that that's correct, and it's confirmed, you know, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. So, but then my doubt would be, why would Krishna use a word that could be interpreted ambiguously when we're here on...
Silence is also, silence is golden. But, so for the person who's not Krishna conscious, better to keep his mouth shut. Right, your mother always told you, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. So for the person who's not Krishna conscious, silence is golden. But for the person who has something to say about Krishna, that's better than silence. He's materially silent.
But this is the 12th chapter, Maharaj, and Krishna has already explained so much about the glories of devotional service. So it would seem that at this point, Krishna doesn't need to say things that would satisfy the impersonalists who want to interpret the Bhagavad Gita their way.
A devotee is also not a chatterbox. One may be a devotee, but if he's an advanced devotee, then he's not just talking to hear himself talk. If he has something to say about Krishna, then he's speaking. It's described in the 10th canto that the saintly person is like a river which sometimes is running and making a gurgling sound, like a little stream. Sometimes it's quiet. We saw that again with Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes we went on a morning walk with him, he didn't say two words. And sometimes he would, the whole time he would be talking. He didn't feel compelled to fill up the time with, you know, fill up the ether with sound, no matter what. Sometimes he'd be absorbed in thought, and sometimes he'd speak. Saintly person. We're determined to finish because we're almost there. Santushto yena kena aniketa, he doesn't care about any residents, wherever. And sthira matir, his intelligence is fixed. Bhakti nan me priyo nara, very dear to me. Ye tu dharmamritam idam yatoktam paryupasate. Shradhana mat parama bhaktaste ativa me priya. A person who follows this imperishable path of devotional service and completely engages with faith, making me, Krishna, the supreme goal, is very, very dear to me. Ativa means exceedingly dear. Krishna said, priya, 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 now ativa, very priya, exceedingly dear to me. Okay.
Maharaj, if you get, you know, so obviously we meet people of different levels of faith or no faith. And I've heard answers to this, and I've given answers to this question, but I'd really like to hear your answer. If someone says, like, what kind of God is this? Like, he makes you worship him and turn to him, and only then you get real happiness. Why doesn't he just make you happy? Doing whatever you're doing or enjoying
separately. He doesn't make you. Why? What kind of God is this that he makes you surrender to him and then he gives you happiness? Otherwise, he makes you miserable. First thing is, he doesn't make you surrender. It's your choice. And then the next thing is, it's up to you. Your question is sort of, why can't one be in an unconstitutional position and be happy? It's like, why doesn't God create leaves so that when they're disconnected from the tree, they're still green? Why doesn't he create hands that are still strong even if they hold the food in the palm instead of putting it in the stomach? Why doesn't he make it so that when we walk on our hands, it's as good as walking on our feet? Why doesn't he make it that if we eat dirt, we get just as strong as if we eat bread? Why doesn't he? Why doesn't he make it that when I act in illusion, I'm just as happy as when I act in knowledge? Because I like illusion. So why can't I be happy in illusion? Why does your God force me to be in knowledge if I want to be happy? Why can't I be in ignorance and be happy? An ignorant question. He wants to be in that which is not and enjoy it. Doesn't work. We have what's called what Prabhupada calls our constitutional position, our natural position, our healthy position. Why can't I enjoy as much when I'm sick as when I'm healthy? Because you're sick. We insist on acting sick and then say, why can't I enjoy? And Krishna has told you how to enjoy. Do this and this and this and this, you'll enjoy. No. Why can't I do that and enjoy? And Krishna said, put your food in the mouth and you'll be happy. Why can't I put it in my ear? Why do I have to put it in my mouth? Why do I always have to do things your way? Okay, do it your way. Put it in your ear. Be happy. It doesn't work. Okay. Krishna is giving us, this is natural life, this is healthy life, this is a life of knowledge. But if we want to act in ignorance and then passion, then Krishna tells us what the result will be. And then he tells Arjuna, "Yatesha Thakur, do what you like. It's up to you now. I've told you the whole story. Now do what you think is best." And Arjuna says, "What is that? What you've told me, that I'll follow. Why? Nashta moha, because my illusion is now gone. Smritir lakta, I've regained my memory of who I am. Tvat prasada, my achyuta, by your infallible mercy. Stutosmi gata sandeha, now I'm situated in my real position. Kodeshe vachanam, therefore I'll do what you say.
Regarding the quality of not agitating others?
Yes.
I've heard it said that one should not say something to somebody that will agitate their mind, but then I've also heard...
One should not say something to agitate the minds of others. Yes.
And then I've also heard that a devotee should be honest even if the truth is unpalatable.
A devotee should be honest even if the truth is unpalatable. Yes. Especially when speaking about Krishna consciousness. if we say yes, yes, what you're doing is fine. All everything you're doing is good. You're right on target. Then they'll be very happy. They'll smile. Yes, yes. Are they getting some prasadam? Is there anything? Then they smile and everything's harmonious and so on. And if you tell it like it is, then they become disturbed. But our duty is to tell it as it is, because that's good for them. I heard that there's some saying among Christian preachers that the duty of the preacher is to comfort the distressed and distress the comfortable. Quite to the point. We're comfortable in our illusions. We're comfortable in our bewilderment. But that comfort is set up for being for suffering. Someone's probably said, you know, running on a roof, he's flying a kite or something, and he's getting near the edge, and you yell at him, "You idiot!" Or anything to get his attention. You scream at him. Now that's not nice. You should be soft and gentle. No, you do whatever you need to do, because the guy's going to fall off the roof and break his neck. So sometimes we have to speak strongly. Prabhupada said strong words are sometimes needed to awaken a sleeping man. And Prabhupada cited Krishna himself, Namam Duskrita Namuta Prabhupada Naradama. Those who are the grossest fools, miscreants, the lowest of humankind, who are demonic in nature, don't surrender to me. And Krishna is using very strong language. Muda, muda means he's an ass. Narada is the lowest of all human beings. Maya pratigyana, his knowledge has been wiped out by illusion. And Asuri Pavamashrita, he has a demonic nature. Prabhupada said Krishna is speaking very strongly. That's what you have to do. If we just say, well, you know, maybe people aren't taking the best alternative. And everybody says, yeah, you know, that sort of floats in the atmosphere like cotton candy or like soft clouds on a summer day. It doesn't make any impact. So Krishna's getting strong. Wake up, wake up, wake up. So sometimes what a devotee says may not be the most palatable, but his words are beneficial. He doesn't speak just for the sake of agitating others. It's not like the person who's insulting others just that's how he gets his kicks. It's for benefit. And Prabhupada gave the example of the surgeon. The surgeon cuts, but it's not like the guy with a knife in his hand who just enjoys slitting throats or something. When he cuts, it's for the benefit of the patient. So the cutting words of a devotee are not idle. They're not just because the devotee takes pleasure in, I'm better than you are, I'm better than you are. It's for the benefit of the person. Devotee's humble. Adveshta Sarvabhutanam, he has no enemies, he's not envious of anyone, he's not against anyone. So if he's using that kind of strong language, it's because he cares about the benefit of others. Okay. Now, given the hour, do we stop or do we take other questions if there's still some outstanding? Tell me what to do. quarter up, we should probably do whatever you tell me. Tell me to do.
Oh, God.
Question. Any other questions? Yes.
On a related note, related question is, so some people don't appreciate pure devotional service, or that some people are envious. Also, we're hearing about people are envious. So could you please explain how that is not inconsistent with the statement that the devotee is everyone's friend,
devotee is a friend. It doesn't matter if you don't appreciate devotional service. A devotee is still your friend.
But I thought, isn't there something that says that everyone likes the devotee too? The devotee is dear to everyone.
Everyone is dear to him. Yeah. Yeah, that's generally that's true. A devotee, even if he's you may not agree with him, or you may be in a different camp or something, but he's an exceptional person. About the Goswamis, it said, Dhiradhi Rajanapriya. They were dear to the gentle people and to the ruffians also. The ruffians appreciated the thugs. They appreciated, here's some saintly people. A person who's a devotee will in general be appreciated by the low class people. It said, probably it's mentioned in Prabhupada Lamrita, that when Prabhupada was living here on the Bowery, back in the days when the Bowery was really full of all the homeless, drunkard, Prabhupada would come and then the drunkards would step aside so that he could go up the stairs. They would sort of give a courtly bow and move aside.
Soul is about roughly the size of an atom.
Soul's roughly the size of an atom. Yeah, roughly.
Would you say the intrinsic energy within every atom is supernatural?
Is the intrinsic energy in every atom supernatural? Everything's ultimately supernatural because everything's ultimately Krishna's energy.
I was thinking about what you were talking about. I've had many conversations with friends who I mention Krishna and they bring up the logical, my one friend showed me a Hubble telescope image. It said, Sean, there's 3,000 galaxies in this one image. Do you know how fast the speed of light is? Do you know how enormous it is out there? There's no heaven, Sean.
There's no what?
No heaven.
Right.
It's just cold and dark and many galaxies.
What stupid telescope do you have? You've seen thousands of galaxies. Woo woo.
He said, for every grain of piece of sand on Earth, there's a star in our galaxy, Sean, there's no God. And I beg to differ, obviously.
That because your telescope hasn't seen God, God doesn't exist. That's really stupid. pardon me, but to call a spade, that's stupid. What I don't see doesn't exist, and that's science. I heard that the Russian cosmonauts, they did a few laps around Earth, and they said, well, no God up here. it's ridiculous. There's so many things that you haven't seen.
Right. So when the soul is ready to leave the body,
And here's one for you. You say there's no God. What is God?
Oh, I don't say that.
No, you means your body. He says there's no God. But God is the supreme power. That's my definition of God. God is the supreme authority. That authority that cannot be contradicted. That can't be, can't be contradicted. Whose order cannot be overstepped. That power comes, that authority comes for you as death. You may say there's no God, but at a certain time, God will come for you. You may not have seen death on your telescope. You don't need a telescope. You can see it all around you if you've got the eyes. we accept Krishna as Shyam Sundar, beautiful, playing his flute. You can accept him as death. We bow down voluntarily. At the end, you'll bow down involuntarily. Apart from that, it's a prosaic mentality. So many universes, so many stars, so many things he's seeing with his telescope. He's seeing all of these wonderful things, and at the end he says, it's just there. It's like somebody does a tour of the Metropolitan. He says, there's no such thing as artists. There's only art. Wherever you go, you know, halls and halls and halls full of art, but there's no such thing as artists. I didn't see any. I went through the whole Metropolitan.
I'm going to use that for my
English. Yes.
All right. After the descriptions of the different qualities of a devotee, and if they are to be just like developed spontaneously when it is uncovered by the process of devotional service, then what is exactly Krishna's desire to tell us what these points are? You know, is it maybe to tell us like this is what you should look for in a saintly person?
One thing is he's glorifying a devotee. It's appreciation. My devotees are like this, my devotees are like that. It's also an inducement. Become a devotee, you'll have these good qualities. It's also an indication that if you meet a devotee, how do you know he's a devotee? He'll have all good qualities. And it's also an indication to us that if we want to be devotees, then we should desire to develop these good qualities. But to develop them, one has to be Krishna conscious. It's not a separate program. But in the course of our program of Krishna consciousness, we should think, well, if I'm a devotee, then I should be self-controlled, I should be equal to happiness and distress, I should be kind to others, and all the, I should be tolerant. But it's not a separate thing that we're going to go and do seminars and various sorts of disciplines to try to become equal to happiness and distress or any of these other things automatically by becoming a devotee. Prabhupada gave the example, a materialist has to do so many things, you know, he goes to a seminar to learn forgiveness, he goes to a seminar to learn tolerance, he goes to another seminar to learn equanimity of mind, he goes to, you know, counseling to learn something else, so he goes to someplace, all of this. But a devotee, it's one-stop shopping. By Krishna consciousness, everything. Prabhupada gave the example, it was in another context, but it fits here, that the goldsmith has a little hammer. And blacksmith has a big hammer. Wow! But Prabhupada said, we have the blacksmith's method. One shot, just by Krishna consciousness, all of the, I know those little hammers sound nice, but the idea is that by one stroke, you accomplish all of your purposes. Krishna bhakti kailo sarva karma kritaha. Now, shall we stop here? Yes. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Welcome to Shri Prabhupada.